everyone, welcome back to Healthcare Lead Generation. We are speaking with the amazing Leah Chatham of Solution Reach, which helps medical practices improve the patient-provider relationship. They can be found at solutionreach.com. Now, in part one, we spoke about outsourcing your PR, and in part two, we spoke about positioning your company as a thought leader. Now, in this part, part three, we're going to be talking about earned versus paid media and why you need both. Leah, welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me again, Jennifer. This has been great.
Absolutely. Now, for everyone listening, we've had a couple of technical glitches this round. So Leah has been an amazing sport with this. Leah, let's dive into this. Earned versus paid media. This is a huge part of content marketing and PR. And
yes.
Sometimes earned media is seen as something that you want to do exclusively, and paid media gets a bad rap, which I don't think it necessarily deserves. So tell me your thoughts about them.
You know, I totally agree with you. I think they both play really important roles in your content marketing and PR strategy and your thought leadership strategy. They are different, but they really can support one another, and they can kind of help you. Like, each one can kind of help you get the other one. And they play slightly different roles. So I think paid media in particular can be a really important piece when you don't quite yet have a presence, or mm-hmm. you're trying to build up a presence in some way. And maybe you don't have the connections, or you don't have placements for earned media. This is a great way to help make those connections, right? As part of sort of an advertising strategy where you say, we want to have some digital ads, but we'd also like to do some of these paid media placements that are case studies, or, you know, talking about certain topics. It's a good way to sort of get in and start building those relationships, and to be able to talk about exactly what you want to talk about, right? You get to sort of control the message. The downside is it's going to say it's paid or sponsored content.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay. I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean it's not useful or that people won't find it valuable. And it can help you kind of get in there and get those initial connections, and getting earned media, you know.
Mm-hmm. No, I was just saying, I actually think that I've been reading more about millennials and just, you know, next generation involvement with content, and sponsored content and native advertising is not turning that generation off. And millennials are now, you know, in a lot of, you know, executive positions. A lot of them are in their 30s right now. So that's not something as, you know, like, oh, that's just new and not quite here. I mean, in healthcare, that's already playing in it, you know, a role. It has having an impact.
And really, it's going to be about what you put in that content. You know, if that content's fairly useful and you can get that message across in the headline and the first paragraph or so, and it's clear that it's interesting and it's relevant, people will read it, even if it says that it's paid content. Now, I think that you do get a little more validation when it's earned media and you're doing articles written by your thought leaders, or you're being interviewed, your thought leaders are being interviewed for articles. You're doing things that clearly are unbiased, you know, but there's a downside there too. You know, I have these conversations with my SEO guy, and he's always like, can't you get us more backlinks from these articles that you're putting in these publications? Because they have such good authority. And I say, well, no, because when you get the earned media stuff, you're lucky if they'll put your link in the person's bio. You know, they really don't like to do linking to companies. They don't like to put in links to anything that's gated content.
Mm-hmm.
Study that you did, you know, they're going to want it to be totally ungated and available, or they're probably not going to link to it. And that's kind of the downside on earned media. So you may get some reputation building and some good branding off of that and some good thought leadership building. But the downside is you're probably not going to get those strong, validating backlinks.
No, and it is frustrating because
the paid media.
No, and I've been the marketer there who's saying, why can't we get a link in a bio? Why can't they do that? And sometimes I've been able to push for it and sometimes not. And it is a bit of an uphill battle in a lot of cases. And when it's a really good publication, you know, their reputation, they get to call the shots. So that's how it goes. Leah, could you talk to me a bit about your thoughts regarding earned media and building relationships in earned media?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we talked about this a little bit when we talked about thought leadership, and a little bit when we talked about whether or not to outsource your PR. The earned media piece is the piece that really ends up being a lot about, do you have those thought leaders And do you have the relationships with the publications to be able to get those earned media opportunities? So it's really, you know, if a publication is has some stuff on their editorial calendar that's a good fit for you, or you see something come across in a Harrow request, you think, oh, we can do that. You know, can you quickly respond and have what they need at that time? You know, do you have either a bank of quotes already on those hot topics that you can pull from, or do you have a thought leader on your team who can quickly be available for an interview or a customer? And that's where the relationship piece and showing your value and proving that you're reliable, you can get them the content that they need quickly. You're going to respond right away to them and be available and have what they need. That's really how you kind of build those relationships and become that go-to person, you know, that they think of eventually off the top of their head. Hey, we're doing an article on this topic. Boy, those guys are so great. They always respond right away and get us exactly what we need, have somebody who can talk to us. Let's just call them directly.
I know you're totally right. And when we were talking about social media earlier in part two, I think that plays into this, because sometimes just being available for them to reach you by social media can make it a lot easier. Yes. And it's quicker usually. So if they don't have your phone number right there, but they know of you, they can, you know, connect it that way, even get a quick quote from you. It can be a way to do that, even if maybe you're not going to be able to do a half an hour interview. And I think flexibility and availability are the two things that reporters probably want most from anybody they're having to talk with. And
I totally agree. And I will say that the people I work with the most consistently, the most regularly, the one thing they always say to me is, I like working with you because you are so responsive. You know, you're always... Yeah. On time. Like if we schedule something, you show up, you never flake out, you always respond to our emails. You know, those are the kinds of things that I hear from editors who say, that's why I like to work with you guys. That's why we come to you. Those things really are important for editors who, frankly, are really busy and getting hundreds of emails a day.
Yep.
And they just don't want to have to wade through all that. They don't want to have to go out and find. They want to know someone is going to be responsive and available and show up and have what they need.
Absolutely. And I think it's also, you know, as someone who's had to build PR relationships from the ground up, I find a couple of things helps. And one of them is you do your research so you know what topic that you can provide and who is going to be interested in that. Because if you can't have the pitch really clear, and I know some people are big on really descriptive emails to editors, and I am a fan of the much shorter pitch to editors because they don't have time, you know? Can you give them an interesting headline? If you can do that, sure, they might be able to tweak it or make it better or more the way they want, but something that instantly says, this is what this topic is and this is what we can do for you, that is a huge help right there, because I think the number one thing that you have to know about the media is they don't have time. They have no time.
Exactly. It really is. Can you save me time and not waste my time? I mean, absolutely. I think those are pretty critical things.
I think it's amazing. And then, you know, getting someone who also knows how to talk about the topic, which is what we covered, obviously, in part two. And the thought leadership is such a tremendous thing. Now, Leah, I know we were talking all about, you know, thought leadership and media and all of these different things in our three different parts today. But one thing I always like to ask about at the end, just because I think it's a little more fun than always talking shop, which is, what are you reading right now that you really recommend, or that is just the thing that you just enjoy the most? I love sharing books with people.
Well, I will tell you, actually, I just finished the best book.
Oh, really?
So I will share this book with you, but I also will share something that I think is a great resource for anybody around these topics. I just finished reading A Gentleman in Moscow, which I highly recommend as a great summer read. It's long, you know, if you're going to the beach or something, it's long and it's really engaging and it's so good.
Oh,
so
good.
I will suggest that as a fun summer read. But for people who are listening to the podcast who are looking for resources, the absolute best resource I find for me that I use all the time is the Content Marketing Institute. And I get their print magazine and I get their emails and I read everything they send me, and I've gone to their events. I think that's a great read, a great resource, and a lot of different ways to kind of consume it, because of course they know their stuff and they know how to reach us.
No, they're a great resource. In fact, they had a great one on public relations this week versus content marketing and what the differences were. And I thought it was brilliant. So
good. Perfect. Go read that, everyone.
Go read that, everybody. Yes, they're just fantastic. Leah, thank you so much for coming on this interview. And really, I know for all of you who have been listening to all three parts, there were a couple of technical glitches. So thank you for bearing with us and still sharing your insights here. For everyone listening, you can learn more about Leah's work at Solution Reach, which helps medical practices improve the patient-provider relationship. You can find them at solutionreach.com. We've talked about everything PR today, everyone. And if you want to learn more about lead generation for healthcare, obviously come and say hi to me at michellemarketingstrategies.com. Leah, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It was great.
Thanks, everyone. Catch you next time. Bye-bye.